It's time for JT the Brick.
You want to hear about the Vegas Golden Knights?
Sorry, it's loud in here already.
They got to get some of their snipers going again.
Out in front, shot, save, rebound, score! It's a hat trick! Marchessault!
Huge message sent, not just to the Western Conference, but the whole NHL.
Throw the gloves down and kick the crap out of someone and get this team going. Get them going.
Several rights, Reeves' helmet pops off, Reeves wailing away.
Just being honest with you.
JT the Brick.
Get him out of the front of the net and stop those rebounds and get a bully in there.
The force is strong with Marc-Andre.
Rebound, oh, a diving, glove save by Fleury.
I want this to be a live, interactive Golden Knights show.
His Jedi force is too strong.
Just being honest with you.
You're a brickmaster.
And now, here's JT the Brick.
Out of the gate, JT with you. Good to have you on the flagship of the Vegas Golden Knights, brought to you by Golden Entertainment. Your home of PT, Sierra Gold, Sean Patrick's, the SG Bar. They own the Strat, Arizona Charlies. And man, do they got big things happening for the draft in March Madness. We'll be telling you about that over the next month or two. Today is a monumental day in Vegas sports history. It is the biggest day. It is a dark day. It's an unfortunate day as Gerard Gallant has been fired as the head coach of the Vegas Golden Knights. This was hardcore. You want to talk hardcore? This is the new definition. Sorry, UNLV running Rebels. Sorry, everybody else in town here, the soccer team. Anybody else here, the Aviators. This is professional sports, and this is about as hardcore of a firing as I could imagine. Gerard Gallant, who has been great for this community, fabulous for this hockey club, was basically whacked on the road on a road trip as he took this team to the Stanley Cup final in their inaugural season, took them back to the playoffs the second year, and then the team that beat them in the playoffs on one of the biggest fluke penalties I've ever seen in my life, they take that guy that was trash-talking Gallant, and Gallant called him a clown, and they hired him to be the next head coach of the team. We wish Coach DeBoer well. We're going to get behind the new coach, obviously, because the Golden Knights are all in. Okay, they're all in on this move. My opinion is that this is a move by the owner. The owner, Bill Foley, basically said, that's it, guys. I've given you everything. You play in the best arena in the sport. I've given you everything that you need, and you haven't done anything with it this year. So everybody's done. I'm sitting here, I'm going to get rid of the coach, I'm going to wake you up, I'm going to make sure you wake up because I'm going to shock you all in the locker room on a road trip, and I'm going to fire the guy who's coaching the All-Star team. Does that wake you up, Mark Stone? Hey, Tuck, will that get you out of a slump? Hey, Carlson, when was the last time you had a big game? This wakes everybody up, and if you want to spin this as a positive, the way to spin this, in my opinion, as a positive, is to say that the owner of this hockey club basically looked at everyone in the organization and said, here's the deal. I'm taking the coach out, and now it's on you. No more excuses. Don't tell me about how good you are or how great it is. Don't make excuses like, oh, maybe we need to leave Vegas and get out on the road to come together again. Give me a break. In order for this to happen, something drastic needed to happen throughout the organization to wake this roster up because this owner believes right now that they can win the cup and they're not going to win the cup. This is hardcore. If it happened in the NFL, if it happened in baseball, in a week that two baseball managers were fired, by the way, they won World Series. Okay, we're not talking about the last place team. They whacked the guys who won World Series. This is professional sports. Put on your big boy pants. This is what happens in hockey. As I tweeted out today, if you're a head coach of a hockey team, do not buy a house. Rent. Because eventually, they're going to come for you. Darren Millard, kind enough to kick off the show, the host of the Vegas Golden Knights broadcast. And Darren, shocking in Vegas today. No one saw this coming. Why did it happen today?
Expectations. And might you say a victim of his own success in Gerard Gallant, who took the expansion team to the Stanley Cup final in that first year, amazed the entire sports world, not just the National Hockey League of folks that follow hockey, but wowed everybody. Went to the Stanley Cup final, followed it up by having a great team in last year's Stanley Cup playoffs and going to a seventh game. And with the additions that that management has put into this team, there's expectations that this roster, that this hockey club, that this franchise can not only challenge for a Stanley Cup, but they want to win a Stanley Cup. And five games above 500 after 49 games, and the inconsistency that we've seen out of this team, there is a move made to make a change. It is, JT, the most proactive coaching change that I've witnessed. I've been around teams that had expectations before that didn't meet those expectations, that were well off the mark, and you could see a coaching change coming. This was different because this was trying to get in front of something and make sure that this team still had a chance to, if you wanted to make the change before things went awry. That's what this is. You have 33 games left to still win the division. You're giving the coach three games before the All-Star break, and then a good stretch of days for the coach to sink his teeth into things to get comfortable with the players and the coaching staff that remain. This is the most proactive decision that I've witnessed.
We're talking about the breaking news in Vegas, the firing of Gerard Gallant, and I think the timing is interesting. I don't agree with the situation, and I understand the rules on the flagship station that I'm hosting at. I am just shocked that for a guy who went to the Stanley Cup final in the inaugural season, went to the playoffs, and lost to the team where you go and take on the team's coach that they fired to bring him over here. We're not talking about bringing a legend out of retirement who's won a whole bunch of cups and you just can get him. You know, the Raiders made a move where Jack Del Rio won 12 games, but John Gruden became available, so they got Gruden because they had a window to go get him. I just thought Gallant deserved one more push, or maybe McCrimmon or McPhee or the owner coming out in public saying, if you don't win, we're putting you on the hot seat. Here we go after the All-Star break. Just a rough way to see Gerard Gallant go, especially, Darren, after the way he was let go in Florida and had to go get his own cab and pay his cab fare.
Yeah, those two very different situations that night in Raleigh-Durham and fired on the road. Wherever Gerard ends up, he's not going to want to play on the road anymore because of this situation taking place after the Buffalo game last night. Look, I understand. I consider Gerard a friend. He's a good friend. Before I moved to Vegas, and my family spends time on Prince Edward Island, where Gerard makes his home. And he was first hired by Doug McClain in the Columbus Blue Jackets, who is a good buddy of mine who I've worked with for 20 years in Canada. So my ties with Gerard are strong. This is a team, however, that with the expectations going into the year to win the Pacific Division regular season pennant and compete for a Stanley Cup, never seemed to find its rhythm. And we thought after the miracle in Music City at Thanksgiving that they pulled it out and they adjusted their defensive their structure and coverage. They went on such a roll. And then into that homestand, the first four games, you thought they've really turned a corner. This is it. And the first period stumbles, and the way they finished the homestand made things obviously made everybody take notice, and showed that they hadn't really grasped the momentum that we all thought they had, and it was another downward turn. So this up and down consistency that the Vegas Golden Knights have experienced all year continued into this road trip with a loss against Buffalo, and the change was made. I don't think this is in response to the loss against the Columbus Blue Jackets or the Buffalo Sabres, two teams that are outside the playoff picture right now. I don't believe that for a second. I think this is the body of work of this season where the team just hasn't been firing on all cylinders at the same time, and that to me is the true reason why they make the change and to try and get in front of something. And still, I like Gerard is a great coach, but I also think that this is a message to the fans that this is a real commitment to trying to win the Stanley Cup, and it is a massive lesson. of how difficult and hard on people professional sports can be. It's not for the faint of heart, JT. You know that. I know that. And sometimes it's not pretty, and today is a not pretty day. It's a day of reality that a coach that's five games above 500 can still lose his job, but that's the expectations that exist in Vegas.
Darren Millard's our guest, host of the Vegas Golden Knights broadcast, and I think this is really interesting now. Everybody's seeing, if they are in Vegas or if you're listening online, has seen the reaction of Marc-Andre Fleury, where he really is wearing this. You could tell that he blamed himself. He's been struggling as of late, but he's been dealing with the death of his father. Now he gets in net. He hasn't played. He hasn't looked sharp in the last couple of games. And I want to know your opinion on how this team is going to react, because there's not a captain on this team. I wonder if the board's going to make a captain instantly to try to go out there and stamp his name on this, and if these players will wake up, or the players love Gallant, and this is a coach that initially no one in the locker room would have polled and said, yeah, I think we're going to play for Peter DeBoer. He's going to be our next head coach.
Well, it's strange because of the DeBoer hiring and the relationship that that he had in the rivalry between San Jose and Vegas. But let's go back a step to Gerard Gallant. I've been around teams where the coaching change was made, you walk into the locker room, you talk to the players, and they are saying as little as possible, trying to hit on all little cliches, because in reality, they are relieved that the change was made, and they can't wait to play and turn that page. That wasn't the case here. I would guess to a man, every player has reached out to Mike Kelly and Gerard Gallant because they like playing for him. He wasn't a tried and true player's coach. He was hard on you when you needed to face the music. But they truly did like playing for Gerard Gallant, and I'm not surprised that Marc-Andre wears this. I'd be shocked if they weren't all wearing this. But they also have a job to do, and they have expectations on themselves. And they were given contracts that they had to live up to. The DeBoer situation is interesting because of the San Jose aspect. But let me put it this way, because I come from outside the bubble. I've been in Vegas a few months now. I've looked at it from a National Hockey League angle, not just a Vegas angle. Peter DeBoer has been around the National Hockey League a long time. He's gone to two Stanley Cup finals. There is a resume there. There's no better coach if you're going to plop in, forget the rivalry, that you're going to plop in that knows the Vegas Golden Knights personnel more than Peter DeBoer. He's coached against them a couple of times in the playoffs. He's been in the same division since the team came into existence. He knows how to coach against them. He strategized against them. He knows what he would do to tweak things. So I think if you're looking for a bump and a guy that can hit the ground running, that doesn't have to get up to speed about personnel, and then you couple it with the All-Star break and the bye week where he can really sink his teeth into it, you've got a really good situation. I'm not surprised, JT, that there's some people, a little bit of we signed the San Jose Sharks coach. That's sports. That's rivalry. That's commitment. That's wearing it as fans, because they were in it with Gerard Gallant. But when you look at a big picture, Peter DeBoer, there's not a steep learning curve here. He could step behind that bench tomorrow night in Ottawa and know, with the help of Ryan Craig and Ryan McGill, and run that bench.
Wrapping it up with Darren Millard, I just think when you look at professional sports and how hardcore it could be, they're hiring a coach who was fired last month, not took the rest of the year off and came back. He was fired last month. He's the rival coach. A lot of the fans don't like him, and now the fans are going to have to get it quickly. And there's no doubt, Darren, that I believe, like you're saying, this is the one move that wakes everybody up. It wakes up everybody on the staff, the fans who sit behind the glass to the upper deck, that this team and this owner, and that's my spin on this, talking to another source today, that this has the handprints, possibly, don't know if it's accurate, but possibly, of the owner telling the GM and the president, look, I've given you everything. I brought in Stone. We've done everything. We've re-signed players. We got to wake these guys up. I'm expecting a run here, and I'm expecting a run, not to the playoffs, a run to the cup. And that's one good thing that can come out of it. And I think that Las Vegas has got to get behind this move here and understand the big picture.
Yeah, and the timing, give it, just reiterate, the timing, they've got three games before the All-Star break. Then they have four games on the road after. February 8th is the first game back at T-Mobile with Peter DeBoer as the head coach. We'll see what kind of response he gets, but there's a, I think there's a better than good chance that this team will click into gear, whether it's some tweaks from Peter DeBoer or just simply the wake-up call. But this team is better than five games above 500. I'll say that, and I would challenge anybody to say this team shouldn't have been the preseason favorite to win the Pacific Division. They're 3 points behind that. So it's time to get up. It's time to go. And the change of coach, unfortunately, is made. I'm a big fan of Gerard Gallant, but I'm not surprised that when you look at the whole picture of this season, that there is a consideration of coaching change, and inevitably it came around to being so.
Thank you, Darren. Unbelievable comments from you. We really appreciate it and giving us the information from your perspective. Thank you.
Boy, pro sports can be a cruel business, eh?
Absolutely. Take care, my friend.
Be good.
Darren Millard. Wow, that's a good start to the show. Unfortunately for Gerard Gallant. And Gary Lawless joins us exclusively. He's been on NHL Network. We have him at the top of next hour, or 20 after. We'll get Gary Lawless as he checks in, as we're covering the breaking news today of the firing of Vegas Golden Knight head coach Gerard Gallant. It is a shocking day today in Las Vegas that a coach of that high regard, was fired today in this town. The first professional sports team, the Raiders are not here yet, the first professional sports team we've ever had here at the level of the Big Four, and the coach gets whacked on the road the way he got fired. That is something that this whole town will never forget. Never forget what happened today. And it's a big moment in the history of the city, because we've seen Bill Baino get whacked, or Dave Rice, who we like, not here. This coach comes or goes. I get it. The Rebels are huge, especially in this town. But this is a wake-up call for everybody who listens to this show, and something that I've been preaching my whole career. This is what happens in big sports towns. This is what happens in Boston, Philadelphia, New York, Los Angeles, and has never happened here before until today. So put it on your calendar, put it in your phone. Today's the day, and thanks for listening to us, as we will be the lead show in this market covering something like this when it breaks. So here's Fleury today, who was really emotional, and just, I think he wore it. You could just tell. You won't see it, but you can hear it in his voice how hurt he is.
Mad at myself for letting this happen. No, I think it's tough to, as a group, as a team, you know, to cost somebody's, you know, to coaches their job, you know, and there's so much respect towards them, right? And they've always been very honest with us, very respectful to the players, and you're never going to hear a bad thing about them. You know, they love the game, they love coming to the rink, and just feel responsible for letting this happen.
Think of what's going on with Fleury, as I said. Fleury's not playing well as of late. He hasn't been sharp. His father recently died, and Fleury has left the team. And now Fleury, who's the leader of this team, has to explain to himself what happens, and he's got to take it on. I mean, Mark Stone in front of his locker on the road, you could just tell it looked like he saw a ghost. Kevin Ioli joins us live from the Conor McGregor Cowboy presser. And Kevin, you're a season ticket holder for the Vegas Golden Knights. I wanted to get your reaction first on the firing of Gerard Gallant.
Well, obviously, I'm a Golden Knights fan, and I want to root for the Golden Knights to win the Stanley Cup. So, you know, I hope that this is a move that takes them closer. But I don't like the move. You know, I think that Turk is a proven good coach. He has a good relationship with the players. And I don't think he's been dealt the best hand. As you and I have talked on the air before, I think they're shorter defensemen, at least one defenseman. They have five left-handed shots, one right-handed shot, and they're slow on the back line. And I just think that they didn't give him the best chance to win. And to fire him at this point in the season when they're not that far out of contention to me was a little bit rash.
The return of Conor McGregor versus Cowboy. Tell me why this is a must-see event.
Well, anytime Conor McGregor fights at this stage of his career, you never know if it's going to be his last one. He is one of the biggest stars in the sport, probably the biggest ticket seller in the sport right now, active today, given the fact that we're saying Floyd Mayweather is retired. He sold 2.5 million pay-per-views for his fight with Habib. He had 4.5 million with his fight for Floyd before that. So he is a certified humongous star. And you never know with him, is it going to be his last fight? But this sets up to be one of those great stand-up battles. You know, when Cowboy Cerrone leads the UFC in most bonuses, fight night bonuses, meaning he's been in the best knockouts, the best fights, the best submissions, and more than anybody, and you put him in with a guy like Conor, who you know comes to knock somebody's head off, it's going to be a fun fight. So I think the fact that it's just Conor and then who he is fighting, and the fact that at any point, JT, it could be his last one, it's a must-watch.
Kevin, we saw NFL quarterbacks coming off a bye week not sharp early in games. Are you concerned that McGregor will not be sharp early after the long layoff?
I think 100% that's a big concern. You know, the advantage he might have is the fact that Donald Cerrone himself is not a fast starter. You know, Cerrone is usually a pretty slow starter, so that might give him a little bit of time to kind of get the rhythm, feel the ring, and get his feet underneath him. But he's going to have to pick it up pretty soon. But I think certainly rust is a big factor. Hey, look, this guy has not fought much MMA whatsoever, just 3-plus rounds in over 3 years, and those were the rounds that he fought against Habib in 2018. You know, he had a boxing match in 2017 with Floyd. He hasn't fought another MMA fight since November of 2016. So certainly, you know, you're not in there at game speed. That's always a concern, especially given the long layoff that he's had.
Wrapping it up with Kevin Ioli. Kevin, you've covered combat sports athletes who haven't had good runs in their personal life with personal transgressions. It hasn't been easy for Conor the last couple of years with barroom fights with older men to some of the problems that he's had in his personal life. Where do you think his mindset is in his personal life coming into this fight?
It'll be really interesting to see. I haven't had a chance to talk to him this week, so today's going to be the first time. So it's going to be interesting to see where he is. But you got to, you know, all indications from the people who have talked to him that he's in a pretty good mindset. I saw his interview with Ariel Helwani on ESPN, and he certainly looked like he was in a good state of mind. So I'm optimistic that he's kind of cleared his problems up.
Last one, where you're great at predicting gate and pay-per-views. You're phenomenal at that. What are you predicting going into this one?
Well, I know it's going to be a little bit over a $10 million gate because Dana White's already told me that one. So we're at a sellout with a little bit over a $10 million gate, probably about $10.5 to $10.6 million gate. As far as the pay-per-view, you know, I think this is going to be a million-plus pay-per-view. I think we're looking at somewhere in the million-and-a-half range. I don't think it's going to be quite as big as his fight with Habib last in 2018, which did $2.5 million, but it's going to be a big one.
Thank you, Kevin. Really appreciate it.
Be well, JT.
Kevin Ioli, that's a great guest, as he's live at the press conference here in Vegas for the McGregor versus Cowboy fight, the welterweight bout that is January 19th, this Saturday, 10 p.m. Eastern, live on ESPN pay-per-view. So we open up the show with Darren Millard. We have an opportunity now to take your phone calls on the firing of Gerard Gallant. And if you want to get through, you better come firing today. Okay? Well, I know that people, and they stop me in Vegas all the time, from Uber drivers to people that I see on the strip. JT, I can hear you. I can hear it in your voice. Days when you're ready to go and you're frustrated. Well, today, I'm a bit frustrated because I like Gallant, even though I've only interviewed him once or twice. And I just love the fact that we have the flagship property here to talk about that and be the lead in town. 876-1340. I want to know from you why he got fired and who fired him. Understand? Was it the owner? Was it the president? Was it the GM? It wasn't the locker room turning on him. And that's a big part of sports. When the locker room turns on a coach, the coach is gone. That's not the case here. And if you, the one thing that you should do today on Twitter, social media, on your Facebook page or whatever, you should thank them. When people get fired that were good to you and provided you so many hours of entertainment, you should say thank you. The only place I know where to do it is on sports radio. So you're either going to thank Gallant or you think this is a good shakeup and Peter DeBoer will be the new head coach of this team. And everybody says he's a good coach. And definitely he knows the division. And maybe it'll piss off the players, because last year the players didn't like Peter DeBoer and they were in a rivalry with him. Does this change the rivalry in your mind with San Jose going forward? And how are you dealing with this today as a Golden Knights fan? 876-1340 is the number. When we come back, wow, what are we going to do? Well, we're going to stay on this. Russell Baxter is going to join us. Jeff Sherman, quickly on the odds coming up from the Superbook on the moving odds for the NFC and the AFC championship game. But the priority today is your Vegas Golden Knights right here on the flagship.
I really don't want to talk about that, but I think I'm going to have to a little bit because, you know, for that clown to say that in the paper yesterday, it's not right. There might have been two incidents that happened, and I'll tell you both of the incidents. Logan Couture, I thought it was an embellishment, so I'm yelling at the referee. I'm not yelling at Logan Couture. The other one, game two, Evander Kane's yelling at Ryan Reed between the bench, and Evander yells at me. He said, "Hey, coach, when are you going to send your big guy out in the ice and play him more than 4 minutes?" And I said, he's played 10 minutes every game, and he's going to play a lot more. So them are the two times. If I'm going to be a chirper and a loudmouth, I think people know me as a coach and respect me as a coach. And if he's going to yap about that, that's a little unclassy for me.
That's what Gerard Gallant, who's no longer the head coach, thinks of the new head coach back to the postseason last year. This is remarkable. JT, back with you on the flagship. Gary Lawless joining us in an hour. He'll join us from Ottawa. We'll get the inside as he's embedded with the team. John, start us off. What's happening on the flagship? Go ahead.
Man, thanks for taking my call. I really appreciate it.
Yep.
I love this. Wasn't a huge fan of Gallant. I respected what the type of person that he is. And, of course, you never want to see a family man get the axe. I've met him a couple times, but our team can't depend on the dump and chase. Dump and chase is gone, and we've been doing that way too many times. And with the caliber of players that we have, the speed, we need to get that back. We need to get some crisp passing, but too much dumping and chasing. Been a hockey fan for 30 years, and it just drives me crazy. We lost some good defensemen, Belmar, even Colin Miller, aggressive. But that's not necessarily probably his fault. But I think with a new coach coming in, with a little defensive mentality, he had our number last year in the playoffs. I think it's a great move. I love it.
Well, I mean, you don't blame the players as much as you're blaming the coach.
I blame them both.
Okay.
I think a spark needs to be made.
Yeah.
And, you know, Gallant, one thing that he did was I didn't think he brought the consistency that a lot of other teams bring, which meaning that he switched up the lines a lot. And I know injuries, you have to. But, you know, with Patch and Stone and with Stastny, especially last year, I mean, they were killing it for 3 weeks, and then what happened? He took them off the first line, made them second line, and then this year he completely separates them. I'm just a spectator, of course. I'm not a coach, never been. But, you know, you want to see more consistently. If you look at Washington, they would never separate Ovechkin and Oshie and, you know, Pittsburgh, things like that.
Yeah,
so,
I think Gallant, and I appreciate the call. We have a guest here. I think Gallant wanted to mix and match the lines and tried to change it up a bit to get a spark with this underachieving hockey club, especially on offense, with the stars that they are supposed to have. Look at their point production compared to other teams. Jeff Sherman, kind enough to join us, the VP of Risk Management over at the Westgate at the Superbook. And Jeff, first off, your reaction to the firing of Gerard Gallant and how it affects the number.
We didn't make any changes to the number. We still have him at 12-1 to win the Stanley Cup. Not near the favorite role anymore, but that's all performance-based. We were as low as 7-1 a couple of weeks ago. But with the current slump that they had to finish off the homestand, we raised them up to 12-1, didn't make any changes based on what happened today. But it's really not that much of a surprise from our standpoint. They've been underperforming due for their expectations. We had their point total at 103.5 this year, and it's been an inconsistent start to the season, underperforming, so it really isn't that much of a surprise.
Yeah, I was going to ask you the total for the year, clearly trending underneath that there, and this spark can only help them get going there, and this is a hockey handle that has increased with you every time we've talked to you over the last couple of years. How is the handle this year when it comes to future odds for the Knights winning the Cup?
Well, you know, we did take a $10,000 wager on the Knights at 10-1 a couple weeks ago, so they represent our largest liability amongst the Cup contenders at the top. We have some larger liability on the Red Wings, longer teams like that, but the ones at the top that have a chance, the Knights represent the largest liability for us, like they have the past couple of years. So it's been fast and steady support for them.
Let's jump into Baltimore getting knocked out in round one and how that affected you in Vegas overall with all the money that I heard was on Baltimore to go all the way and win the Super Bowl. Put that in reality for our listeners.
Well, as far as the Super Bowl futures go, we're in a real solid position on them. They were 2-1 before last weekend, and they were one of our better positions. As far as the game itself last weekend, that was one of our book's largest wins on a single game that we've had in recent memory. Might have been for all time. It's almost rivals a Super Bowl, but the Super Bowl, you get all the propositions involved. So when you have the four standalone games and you have a 10-point favorite and it takes out all the money line parlays, the teasers, and everything going to the other three games, it represented a really strong game for all the books in the city.
Where's the most liability you have going forward with a potential Super Bowl winner?
We don't have any liability. Our smallest win is on Green Bay, but we're pretty well set on the other teams, and we do the best on Tennessee. So we're a little bit high on Tennessee at 8-1, looking to sell some of that off. We currently have Kansas City and San Francisco each at 7-5, and Green Bay is also at 8-1.
Taking a look at Kansas City hosting Tennessee, it opened up 7.5. You have it at 7 now. Interesting. I thought this number would be a little bit higher, and I think it would move up higher because the public loving Patrick Mahomes, especially that comeback.
Yeah, you know, when we first put this up, we opened at the Chiefs minus 9.5 and took some sharp money, and we've gotten all the way down to 7. We had some sharp money plus 7.5 today, so it's reached all the way down to 7. But we do expect some public money to get there. It's the first of the two games on Sunday, which we'd expect more liability on the Kansas City game side if it was the later game. But we still expect a lot of Chiefs support. The one thing I know the public is looking at from when they handicap this game, if the Titans were to get down quickly, it's going to be tougher for them to get back in the game versus what we saw Kansas City do last weekend. So I know the public has more faith in Kansas City. That's why you're not going to see it go less than 7. I think 7's the bottom point.
San Francisco minus 7.5, considering the star power and the health of Green Bay, because I wanted to see the trilogy and the third game with Seattle. But Aaron Jones at running back healthy. Devontae Adams coming off his best game, a record for the Packers, 160 yards healthy. And Aaron Rodgers, one of the greats to ever play the game. I mean, Green Bay's got to feel pretty good about going into the belly of the beast in Santa Clara with their stars healthy, unlike Seattle.
Yeah, the one problem we have here is now we opened the San Francisco 7. It's been bet up to 7.5. But a lot of people remember just a few weeks back, Green Bay went up there on a Sunday night game and got it handed to them. They lost a lot. So the public will bet that way on what they've seen as far as reactionary. And a blowout win by the 49ers in that game has the public backing the 49ers again.
Jeff Sherman, finally, the Super Contest. I saw the Godfather, Brent Musburger, first online again after another successful year with a huge handle and another monster payout. The contest continues to get better and better.
Yeah, it's fantastic. And this is the earliest we've ever opened up signups. Last year it was in March. This year we opened it up January 13th, so this past Monday. The first day we had 5 signups, so we're already on pace to shatter what we did last year if you look at it from that perspective. But we have new in-season bonuses, quarterly bonuses, and a later entry time to put your picks in, whether it's mobile or over the counter. So we try to make some changes to benefit everybody.
Jeff, finally, our new injury attorneys here on the show, Sam and Ash, asked me where to go and where to watch the championship games. And I said, one place. You got to go to the Westgate, go to the Superbook, experience for the first time what it's like to watch a championship game back-to-back in that unbelievable atmosphere that you have. Tell us what you have coming up this weekend.
Yeah, we'll have the theater open for the games, and we have it in the book. In the book, the energy is absolutely phenomenal. And we have booths and pods available for purchase, which is magnificent seating. You've been there for that. Just the energy in the room, it's you can't rival that. If you're watching at a bar or something like that, the energy you get out of the Superbook is just phenomenal.
Fantastic, Jeff. Thanks a lot for coming on. As always, we'll talk to you in a couple of weeks.
All right, thanks, JT.
Yeah, we'll talk to Jeff heading into the Super Bowl and the Westgate. To go there and experience the Superbook and to understand that and to feel what happens there, it's second to none. If you're betting and you want to be in that scenario, you got to go there, especially on Sunday. Let me get out to Todd before our next guest. Todd, what's happening?
Not much, JT. I'm a season ticket holder, Section 118, last 2 years, and this team's no way going to the Stanley Cup unless they do something with the defense, no matter who the hell the coach is on this team.
I would agree with you. I would agree with you, and maybe this is the move before that move, because they were not going to give Gallant an opportunity with this roster to see if he could turn it around, and I think that comes from the owner. Now there's a new head coach. He's going to evaluate the talent. He's going to report back to the owner and say, these guys are good. I can win a cup with them. And if not, he's going to say quickly, because remember, DeBoer comes from a spot where he had great defensemen who could rush the puck, something that we don't see, or they're not living up to expectations this year in Vegas.
Yeah, I agree with you. I agree, but I think it was a pretty sad way to do Gallant dirty like that, you know? I mean, you're going to fire a Pacific Division all-star coach that's still in the hunt this year, took the team to the playoffs their first two seasons. You know, it's just, to me, when I got the alert on my phone at work today, I thought it was a joke, actually. You know, and I was just stunned by it, still stunned by it. And then for them to hire Pete DeBoer, the villain, you know, to me is crazy. I just don't see what he's going to do different than Gallant. I think the players are unachieving. The defense needs to be dealt with, and some of the offensive wing guys like Alex Tuck, mm-hmm. especially, you know, isn't living up to what he's supposed to do. And that really doesn't have nothing to do with Gallant. That has all to do with the players that are putting the skates on their feet.
Yeah, I would agree with you. Great phone call. Thank you. You could blame several players on this team for Gerard Gallant getting fired. You could also blame Marc-Andre Fleury for not playing well, but no one in this town's going to do it. And I'm not ready to go there, too. I've said on this show, when Fleury doesn't play well, this team has no chance. They have an elite Hall of Fame goaltender. If he's playing great, they have a chance to win the Cup. If he's playing good, above average, no chance. And if he's struggling, forget about it. And he hasn't played well as of late. And a lot of the goal scorers are very streaky here. They don't have consistent offensive weapons. And that's disappointing. For Mark Stone, God, as I said, the video, it looked like he saw a ghost when he had to talk about this.
We just found out about it this morning. And like I said, as players, when you don't play up to standard, changes happen. And we all loved and respected playing for Gerard, especially the guys who have been here since day one. Didn't even get a year in with him, but I love playing for him. But like I said, when you don't play up to expectation, these things happen.
Turk is really respected. I was in the locker room after the St. Louis win, and I talked to the owner, and I had a chance to shake Gerard Gallant's hand after the game, and that was a high moment for him. High moment in regular season history here, and after that, he's gone. Because the team did not achieve what the expectations were. And the owner, again, no one's going to tell you this. Nobody is going to come on and tell you the truth. Not because they're lying to us, because they don't have to tell us. They are a family. They're going to keep it in-house. But I'm sensing Mr. Foley looked at this and said, what's going on here? I paid all this money. We got an unbelievable team. I got to shake it up. And he shook it up in a monster way.
I think Peter's a really good coach. He's had a lot of success in the National Hockey League. Of course, with him working most recently in the Pacific Division, we've had a chance to watch his teams play. I think that his teams are always very well prepared, very well coached. We expect that he'll do a really good job for us. I think he's a very respected coach in the industry.
Kelly McCrimmon on the firing of Gerard Gallant of the Vegas Golden Knights. We'll get back to that with Gary Lawless next hour. Russell Baxter joins us, the football guru, as we preview Championship Sunday. Russell, good to talk to you. I'll jump right in. The Titans have been running downhill now for months with Derrick Henry. What's the game plan for them on the road at Arrowhead, where the Chiefs started off in a deep hole against Houston last week?
Let's keep in mind that the last team to beat the Kansas City Chiefs was the Tennessee Titans, who did a 35-32 number on them. Kansas City blew a 10-0 lead. They blew a 29-20 lead. The persistency of that running game is real. And I'm drawing an equivalent here, and we still have two games to go if Tennessee wins. But, JT, this reminds me of John Riggins in 1982 and Terrell Davis in 1997. We saw those guys go on amazing runs for four games in the postseason, and both wound up Super Bowl champions those years.
I love that analysis. That's why we have the football guru on. Terrell Davis, John Riggins, behind a running game, a power running game, and what could happen off that. Travis Kelce, no one can guard this guy, period. And I'm just shocked because you look at film. Every team tries to cover him with a linebacker or maybe a safety, and they can't do it. And he runs free off the line of scrimmage, and people don't put their hands on him. Do they have the personnel on Tennessee to slow him down at the tight end position?
Well, they have the corners, and maybe they put a corner on him. I wouldn't rule that out. I've seen other teams do that in past years and so on. But when you play Kansas City and you have the speed that they have at wide receiver with Hardman and Tyreek Hill, it's hard to put a safety on a tight end because you need him for the back end. I mean, Tyreek Hill blows by people. Let's face it. So they present a lot of matchup problems. Listen, moving the football has not been Kansas City's problem for at least these last 2 years. When Patrick Mahomes was banged up for a couple of games and so on, and Matt Moore came on there, the offense, you know, clicked for the most part, just not as explosive. Is now the big difference with Kansas City right now is their defense. And, you know, I know they gave up 31 last week. Remember, one of those was a block punt for a touchdown. So, I mean, it's far from perfect, but it's better than it was. There's two ironic twists in here, and I know we're going to talk about the other game, but I just want to throw these out, JT. The last time Kansas City lost a game this year was to Tennessee. Ironically, the last time Green Bay lost a game this year was to San Francisco. And in both of those instances, the Packers and the Chiefs, both teams gave up a season high in points.
Russell Baxter joins us. What's impressed you now with the combination of Andy Reid and Eric Bieniemy calling plays? More aggressive than just Andy Reid on his own in the past? What do you like about it?
Well, I just think I think Andy Reid has opened up his playbook and been a lot more creative. And it's funny because he always had decent running backs when he was in Philadelphia, and he had some good running backs here in Kansas City as well. But he's also been one of those guys who, if a team falls behind, they become unbalanced. And, last year they were 16th in the league in rushing. They didn't have the kind of balance. I think this offense is a little more balanced, and I think that's helping the defense, Steve Spagnuolo's unit. If my numbers are correct, they gave up 35 to Tennessee that day. Now, one of those was a fumble return. I understand that, but it was also a big day from Derrick Henry in that game. Had a big 60-yard touchdown, 60-plus touchdown run. I'll get back to the number. Gave up 35 to Tennessee, giving up 100 even in the last seven games. That's about 14 a clip.
Russell Baxter, the football guru, one of the best insiders out there. I like the Packers in the matchup with the 49ers better than Seattle because Seattle was trending down with injuries and the Packers are trending up with their star power being healthy. At least I know a healthy Packers team is going into Santa Clara to put up a fight against the Niners. How do you see it?
Well, again, it's balance. The years with Mike McCarthy there, especially the last couple of years, it was so much dependent on Aaron. It kind of reminded me of Peyton Manning and his last year with the Colts in 2010. Actually, the last couple of years. Peyton was dependent. The team abandoned the running game. And that's when you play one-man football, JT, and you lose that one man, that's what happens. It happened to the Colts. It's happened to other teams as well.
This is about balance. And there's two Aarons at work here. It's Aaron Jones and Aaron Rodgers. And, you know, you have an Aaron Rodgers who probably doesn't throw the ball downfield like he used to. I also don't think he has the guys to do it, with the exception of Devontae Adams. Jimmy Graham's been a little inconsistent, but I credit Matt LaFleur. This was a team last year that totaled the fewest running plays total in the entire NFL. They're a lot better than they used to. It's not necessarily all about the yards sometimes. It's about keeping that other team's offense off the field. It's about keeping your defense rested. It's a balanced team, and, you know, the proof's in the pudding. 14 wins now, and not, you know, they don't blow anybody out, but they make plays when they had to. Aaron Rodgers last week didn't put up huge numbers, but boy, was he deadly on third down.
Real quick, Russell, with about a minute left, I got to ask you, I was disgusted by the Hall of Fame and the circus of the television show made for TV, Bill Cowher, Jimmy Johnson, bringing in Harold Carmichael, as Drew Pearson doesn't know as he's sitting at home. I know you're tight with a lot of Hall of Fame voters. I'm proud of everyone who got in. But what was that all about with the way they made it for television?
Well, I don't know. And, that kind of left me a little strange as well. And, you know, I did a piece earlier this month, and it wasn't necessarily the two guys I would pick for coach. I picked Don Coryell and I picked Tom Flores as the guy to go in. I don't begrudge. I worked with Bill Cowher at CBS. Got a chance to work with Jimmy Johnson on the draft 1 year at ESPN. Excellent gentleman, but I was a little surprised at that. And my big disappointment, you know this as well as I, my big disappointment was not Drew Pearson, was Cliff Branch.
Absolutely.
He's the one guy who I think above anybody else right now in terms of a player that I would like to see in the Hall of Fame. He has the numbers. He has the postseason numbers. He has a little bit of everything. Some of the other choices, but here's the thing I am with the Hall of Fame.
I got to go. 10 seconds, Russell.
Once you're in, you're in.
Nicely said. There he is, the football guru, Russell Baxter. Steph McKenzie in studio. Is there better radio than that? And I have nothing to do with it. It's all her. The superstar is here.